There once was a guy who prayed every morning, saying, "Lord, if you want me to witness to someone today, please give me a sign and show me to who it is." And one day he found himself on a bus when a big burly man sat down next to him. And the bus was full of empty seats, but this big guy came and sat right in the seat next to his. And our timid Christian anxiously awaited for his stop so he could exit the bus. But before long, the big guy next to him burst into tears and began to wail. He cried out with a loud voice, saying, "I need to be saved. I'm a sinner, and I need the Lord. Won't someone tell me how to be saved?" And he turned to the man next to him and pleaded, "Can you show me how to be saved?" And the believer immediately bowed his head and prayed, "Lord, if you want me to talk to this guy, just send me a sign." Now, how many people here would wait for a sign from the Lord to talk to this guy? Hopefully nobody, right? But how often do we wait for that perfect opportunity? You know, the perfect moment, the perfect lead-in to share our faith. I bet we all know someone who could use the love of God in their lives, right? Do you know anyone who suffers from guilt, depression, despair? Do you know anybody who's constantly angry at the world, oftentimes for what seems like no good reason? Do you know a person who is habitually negative, always putting the worst spin on events and people? Have you ever met someone stuck in the rut of a sin, either not knowing how, not even desiring to get out of it? Well, if you're waiting for a sign to tell someone about Jesus, take this as your sign today. See, most people struggle with this issue. It seems hard enough to simply follow Jesus without going out on a limb and telling everyone else we know about him too. So we make excuses. We find reasons to delay, avoid the topic. We tell ourselves that, you know, people don't want to hear about faith. Or we say that, oh, they've already must have heard about Jesus at some point, so why should I tell them about it? Or we protect ourselves, saying, well, people won't like me if I get all religious on them. Or they'll shut me out if I point out to them what God says. We convince ourselves that, you know, I'm not qualified to talk about Jesus. I think I'd be a rich man if I had a dollar for every time I heard someone excuse themselves from not sharing their faith just because, you know, they aren't trained. They aren't a pastor or a deacon. That's like saying you can't take medicine because you're not a doctor. The truth we all need to understand, what we need to let soak into every corner of our soul, is that Jesus calls all of his followers to go and tell someone else, anyone else, the message from our gospel lesson today. And that message is, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And you don't have to use those words. Those are Jesus' words given to the disciples to use over 2,000 years ago. But he's basically just sending them out with the message, you're a cool person. God loves you. And God loves you so much that he came down from heaven just to be closer to you. He wants to get to know you. He wants to be nearer to you. It's an easy message that Jesus gives them. And he makes it even easier for these 72 disciples that he sends out by giving them the ability to heal the sick. And it's super effective. These 72 disciples, they go out and they return to Jesus amazed by the works that they performed in his name and the many people who came to faith. And maybe we can't go around healing the sick and driving out demons, but that's okay. Maybe that's not the gift that God has given you or me. But you know what we can do? We can speak the message. God loves you. Stop for a moment and think about that. Pay attention, because this is the key point, the most important part of the morning. God loves you. Now pretend with me for a second that you and I are the only people here in this church. God loves you. That message, it doesn't change. It doesn't need to be qualified. God loves you. This world, it doesn't have enough love. Love is missing from so many places. It's missing from so many hearts and minds. We have an opportunity to share that unique love with the world. We just have to be willing to speak up and not wait for, you know, the big guy on the bus to start crying. Don't assume that your friends and neighbors don't want to hear about your God. Christianity, Christians are the only people in the world that believe we have something so incredibly valuable. But at the same time, we've convinced ourselves that nobody else would be interested in it. And our faith is the only thing we really do this with, too. I mean, think about it. If we found a delicious restaurant, we'd want to tell everybody about it, right? If you discovered an incredible TV show that you love, you'd ask other people if they'd ever seen it before. If you think that the Mets are the best and they're undoubtedly going to win the World Series, you would tell other people. I know you would, because I know you Mets fans. If you're a Michigan State fan today, see, some of you caught that game, you would tell everybody about how wonderful Michigan State is and how you should always keep going to the very last and never give up. But as important as restaurants, TV, and sports are, none of that can hold a candle against the importance of our salvation and our eternal life. So don't assume that people don't want to hear about your faith. One of the biggest lies that the devil ever convinced us of is that people won't listen to us. You can't assume anything. There's a story about a National Geographic photographer who was assigned to get photos of a great forest fire. And he couldn't get in close enough to the fire on the ground, so he asked the Home Office if they'd arrange for a plane for him. The arrangements were made, and he was told to go to the nearby airport where a plane would be waiting for him. And we arrived at the airport. A plane was warming up on the runway, so he grabbed his gear, and he jumped in. He said, "Let's go, let's go." So the pilot swung around and started taking off into the wind, and after a shaky takeoff, they were off flying. And the photographer said to the pilot, he said, "Fly over the north side of the fire and make 3 or 4 low-level passes." "Why?" asked the pilot. "Because I'm going to take pictures," cried the photographer. "I'm a photographer, and that's what photographers do. They take pictures." After a pause, the pilot turned around him and said, "So you're not the flight instructor?" Never assume. Never assume particularly that God hasn't sent you exactly where he wants you at exactly the right time with exactly what he wants you to say. Don't sit around waiting for a sign from God. God's already given us the Great Commission of Matthew 28 to go out and make disciples of all nations. And that directive is not just for pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, and the like. The work of the church, the work of spreading the love of God, is for everyone. And that work, you can't put it off until it's too late. There once was a farmer who had 3 sons, Ron, Don, and Little John. And all of them technically belonged to the church, but none of them ever attended or really made any time for God. And then one day, Don was bitten by a rattlesnake. The doctor was called, and he did all he could help Don, but the outlook for his recovery, it didn't look good. So the pastor was called, and he came for a visit. And he began to pray as follows. He said, "Oh, wise and righteous Father, we thank thee that in thine divine wisdom thou didst send this rattlesnake to bite Don. He has not been inside the church for years and hath shown little interest in you. We trust that this experience will be a valuable lesson to him and will lead him to a closer life with thee. And now, O Father, wilt thou send another rattlesnake to bite Ron, and another to bite Little John, and a really big one to bite the old man. For years, we have done everything we know to bring them closer to you, but now you have shown us the way. Thank you, God, for wrapping us. Amen. I guess the question for today is, what's it going to take to turn you into an evangelist? Is it a big guy in the bus who cries out for help? Is it flying over a forest fire with an inexperienced pilot? Is it your whole family being bitten by rattlesnakes? Today we celebrate the festival of St. Luke the Evangelist, and we give thanks to God for his life and his mission. We appreciate God's message that he recorded in the Gospel of Luke and in the Acts of the Apostles. But remember something. Luke was just a guy. An intelligent man, for sure, a doctor. But he didn't go to evangelist school. And neither did his fisherman colleagues. They were simply people inspired by Jesus Christ and sent out in the world with that great message. That great message that God loves you. That Jesus died for you. That he forgives your sins and he rose on Easter morning to conquer death and the grave. So let us ask God to help us share this message with maybe just one person this year. It's not asking much, but what a difference it would make, right? It would, in theory, double the church in a year. Hundreds of people would come to know God's love. It's not complicated. You don't have to teach them the explanation of the Augsburg Confession or anything like that. You just have to tell them that God loves them. And the Holy Spirit will take it from there. And just as Christ sent out St. Luke, he will use you for the greatest purpose your life will ever know. For there is no greater role than to be the messenger of God's love. Amen. Now know that the peace of God surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.